Is suffering a good thing? Or is it something that you avoid? Suffering. I was thinking about putting mustard on that egg roll. Or Tabasco on your red beans and rice. There's some suffering involved in the eating. Oh, but it feels so good. Well, what about if you have a long run or work out in the gym till you feel the burn? There's some suffering, but it's right. It's right. I remember my sister watching her 5-year-old walk down the hill towards the school bus the first day of kindergarten without a glance back, and my sister weeping uncontrollably. She was suffering that her little baby was growing up, but full of joy too. So suffering is a mixed bag. I mean, if you think about it, none of us would be here if our mothers weren't willing to go through the suffering of childbirth, right? It's kind of a requirement. So with that awareness that suffering sometimes is to be avoided, but sometimes to be embraced, we look at our story today, our gospel story today, of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph going to the temple for what we call the presentation. They were fulfilling the law, as good Jewish family would. And they received there the blessing from the prophets, Simeon and Anna. But then Simeon adds a word to that blessing. And he points out how special Jesus is, that he's destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And then he turns to Mary and he says, and you, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce. In the Catholic tradition, this is considered the first of the 7 sorrows of Mary. For any of you old-timey Catholics, the 7 dolors, right? And so they are, for anybody who is curious, this speech of Simeon, the flight to Egypt, finding of Jesus in the temple, the way of the cross, the crucifixion, Jesus being speared by the lance, and the burial in the tomb. The 7 sorrows of Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, celebrated on September 15th. But I think this burst of sorrows of Mary kind of is an invitation for us to look at sorrow, to look at suffering, and to say, what does it tell us about our own suffering and sorrow? The first thing that strikes me is that Mary is not unique in her suffering. Women throughout the ages have been bullied and pushed around and stressed and de-stressed by officials and governments and policies. Mothers in every place have watched their children go through terrible oppression and, yes, even death. And so the first thing that strikes me is when we talk about the sufferings of Mary, we have to see it in solidarity with all the suffering in the world, and especially maybe the suffering of women. And we see this solidarity not from afar, not by saying, oh, isn't that too bad, but by engaging in this suffering that people go through, by by connecting with it, by being part of it. The immigrant woman who's afraid of separation from her child has a claim on us. The mother who is grieving her son who was a victim of violence has a claim on us. The mother coming because her children are hungry and asking us for help has a claim on us. And if we would help Mary in her circumstance, if there's a solidarity in suffering, then we have to have that willingness to help the suffering sisters of Mary, wherever they are. What that's going to look like is going to be unique, I think, for each one of us. There isn't any one way that this is going to happen, but suffering is divided, halved, when others help to lift the load. Solidarity. And the other thing that strikes me in this passage is that it's a sword, Simeon says, a sword that's going to pierce Mary's heart. Why a sword? What is that all about? And I was conscious of the fact, our second reading is from the epistle to the Hebrews, that in that epistle there's a line that says, the word of God is like a two-edged sword that cuts through soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and reveals the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So this image of a sword has something to do with cutting through what's important from what's not important. And so when we are told that Mary had this experience of a sword cutting into her heart, she is joined with the rest of us in trying to understand the will of God. What does God want of us? What does God expect of us, especially at those moments of suffering? What is it all about? And so Mary had to take her suffering and find what it meant in light of God's presence in her life. And that took that discerning sword that could help her understand what mattered and what didn't. You know, we live in an age which urges on us the easy way or the painless way. But sometimes that sword of discernment says, no, you have to make that sacrifice for your child. No, you really need to work that second job for your family. No, you really are called upon to help raise your grandchildren. All situations which maybe we wouldn't have chosen, but that suffering involved in that is somehow or other woven into God's plan in the world. And that scene ends with Simeon saying that the point of all this, the point of Mary's going through this suffering, is so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Well, what's revealed when Mary went through it was her confidence in God and her trust in God's plan, even though it made no sense to her. And so that's what we have to have revealed in our own lives as well. Do we believe that God is good even when the doctor gives us bad news? Do we trust in God's plan, even when our family's getting on our last nerve? The thoughts of our hearts will be revealed as we deal with, confront the suffering in our life. Once upon a time, there was a man who had dandelions in his lawn, and he loved his lawn. He labored over his lawn, and he did not like the dandelions in his lawn. So he did everything he could to get rid of those dandelions. He pulled up the weeds, he spread herbicide, he scattered chemicals, and still the dandelions kept coming. He was not happy. So he wrote a letter to the Department of Agriculture and said, "This is what's going on. What am I supposed to do?" Eventually, the Department of Agriculture wrote back and said, "We suggest that what you do is learn to love dandelions."